It's done paid in full on His part. You and I just have to reach out in our part, put the flesh where it's supposed to be, get it in subjection to the Spirit of God. If we'll do that, I can tell you, it won't be a pull. Everybody will be wanting to preach, won't they? Everybody will be wanting to preach. Hallelujah. We get this thing going just right. Everybody will be wanting to sing. Going to be preaching tonight out of Jeremiah chapter 4. Turn with us. We stated today at home after church this morning. We had a wonderful altar service before I preached. We've had a wonderful altar service before I preached tonight. Now, a lot of Pentecostal folks especially, you have an altar service, they'd say, what else could I do? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to preach to you. It ain't because I have to. It's because I want to. Hallelujah. I got the want tos. I told Brother Gary, they come home with us today, and Brother Gary and Sister Doyle and the daughter, and I said, I'm telling you, I'm just, my voice, it's just cracking, and I feel that old tickly feeling make you start crying, you know, couldn't hardly get above a good chirp, and tonight, I couldn't keep but singing. First thing, the old devil, my voice started cracking. He said, yeah, you ain't going to be able to preach or sing either one. I said, you just watch this. Now, it might not have sounded good to a man, but I sang with everybody singing. Now, I'm singing from my heart. Hallelujah. Now, I may not be able to preach as loud as I normally do. I don't know. Just whatever the Lord wants. He's never let me down. I don't believe He's going to tonight. I'm going to preach to you. We've been on this for a while. What? This is maybe message 16. How much? Message 17. And I know I'm going to be going Wednesday night and probably through the weekend with this. I hope you don't get wore out. God just keeps kindling new fire in this. I can't stop. And the more I look into this, the greater it bigs. Greater it gets, the bigger it gets. You ever get a bite of meat? And here, we butchered a hog some time ago. It's an old hog. And Diane cooked that thing in the oven, invited the preacher and his wife down. Now, you cook anything in a crock pot, you can kind of tenderize it. That hog I know was at least 4 years old. It was a big boar hog that we took care of back in cold weather and butchered that thing. And it was, I don't know, 600 plus pounds, 650 pounds. And she cooked that hog in the oven. And dear Lord, was it ever tough. And the more you chewed on it, the bigger it got. And you had to have something to help get it swallowed down. Tastes great. I mean, had a good taste, but it's tough. But we didn't, that's why the Lord give us teeth. It gets too tough for the teeth, put it in the blender. Hallelujah. We ain't going to discard it. If it's got a good taste, if some of this tonight gets a little stout for you to chew on by yourself, ask the Lord to help you. Hallelujah. Now I'm guaranteeing you He'll help you. Jeremiah chapter 4, we're going to preach a little while tonight. Now I'm going to do my best, folks. I thought this morning I didn't preach over 30 minutes after I read my text, but I preached 30 minutes before I read my text. Now, I'm going to do my best not to do that tonight. Not that I feel bad because I did it. I feel great in doing it. In fact, I feel greater right now, better than I have in a while. And the message ain't changed, but I believe maybe I've got a little help from the Lord in my spirit. You know, sometimes we can do things. The Lord said there was a parable given, and a father said to two of his sons, will you go work in my vineyard today? One said, I will not. And he left. Here come the other and said, I will, but it didn't. After a while, the one said, I won't, repented. Now, which one of the two done the will of God? The one that said he's going to do something made his father. He wasn't pulling anything over God, I can tell you. That all see and I knew before he ever said he's going to say all the right things and do all the wrong. And here's one that has intentions to do right. And he said, I will or I won't. I'm not going to. But he repented and he done it. He done the will of his father. Sometimes it takes us getting to low places and God has to rebuke us or chasten us. And I'll tell you what, folks, I got chastened this last week. I get chastened all the time, but people, that don't affect me much. I mean, I have people tell me all the time they don't like what I done or said. That don't affect me a whole lot. Sometimes it does, but most of the time it don't. But I can tell you, when God gets a hold of you, he'll shake you till your teeth rattled. And it'll affect you, Brother Nathan. I can guarantee you, when God gets a hold of you, it'll affect you. And you won't be afraid to tell folks you're wrong. Have you ever been wrong? I've been wrong. I've had the wrong spirit in some things. Do all the right things in the wrong spirit, it still doesn't make it right, does it? Stand with us tonight. The book of Jeremiah chapter 4. I'm going to read verse number 30. I'm going to read verse number 13 and 14. We done touched on that, but I want to read it with this because we didn't get into 30. Then I want to back up into the first part of chapter 4, a little bit later maybe in this message. Verse number 13, Jeremiah chapter 4, verse number 13 and 14. Behold, he shall come up as clouds, and his chariot shall be as a whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. Woe unto us, for we are spoiled. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? Go with me to verse number 30. We'll read verse number 30 tonight. And when thou art spoiled, what wilt thou do? Though thou clothest thyself with crimson, though thou deckest thee with the ornaments of gold, though thou rentest thy face with paintings. By the way, that word rent means tear. Thy face with paintings, in vain shalt thou make thyself fair. Thy lovers will despise thee. They will seek thy life. You can be seated. I want to continue and preach a little while tonight, the Lord being our helper. I want you to notice something here that Jeremiah is stating as he began to talk about spoil. We stated earlier in this, spoil means in battle to get the goods of another. You have gained the goods that another had. You have spoiled their house, or you have spoiled their vineyard. You have spoiled what belongs to them. Now, I want you to notice God began to speak to Jeremiah. We preached through this for 17. This is 17 different messages in this. Victory over. We've got victory over a lot of areas. Victory over. Victory over the spoil. Now we have victory over the spoiler. That is the enemy that we are fighting against. It's not flesh and blood, dear friend, that we're fighting tonight. And I tell you, Sister Pamela, God had to chasten me in this last week. When I preach in these camp meetings, I see preachers that are so unconcerned. I see preachers that if you can get a shout or a bless me or a prosperity going, I'm telling you, they're in it. They're for it. But when you begin to preach the true, hard meat of God's word, they'll sit there like a knot on a log. Last year, dead turkey, Thanksgiving turkey last year would have more life in it than most of them have. You can't get a sound out of them. But I can tell you, folks, God had to get a hold of me and help me. He had to change my attitude a little bit by showing me I've got the wrong attitude in this. I can tell you, folks, whether they help me preach, I've had folks to even tell me. I've had phone calls, I know at least two different times, of people that tell me, and I don't know why it is, but most of the time it's women. Most of the time, the phone calls I get are the problems that I face one-on-one, it's women. And if you look throughout the Word of God, in the majority of the time, that's when the ones that fought as Elijah, it was Jezebel on his trail. It wasn't Ahab, it was Jezebel. In fact, Ahab, he hearkened unto the voice of Elijah and ran, or took the thoroughbred, the chariot, and went to Jezebel. But Ahab's the one that's, or Jezebel's the one that said, I'll make your life as the life of those 850 prophets you destroyed by this time tomorrow. And then he began to run, Brother Smith. But I thought, I've had, and it's been a while, but I've had two different times, had one woman one time call me simply because I tried to help somebody and do something good. Here's what this woman said. She said, I'll learn you. I'll call everybody I can, and I'll learn you. By the time I get off the phone tonight, you won't have a place to preach. Somebody said, preacher, that concern you? Not a bit. I didn't lose a moment's sleep. It didn't concern me. In fact, I didn't even get aggravated at her. Here's what I replied. I still called her sis. I said, sis, if anybody'd believe anything you had to say, I won't be able to preach to them anyhow. Glory to God. Glory to God. And I had another one tell me, Brother Smith called me up and said, if you think you're going to preach on clothes, I'll go and sit on you. That ain't in the Bible, and you can't preach from it. I said, well, you just come and listen. I'm going to preach on it. And she said, I'll sit on you. I said, you can't. You know why she couldn't? That didn't affect me in at all. I can tell you, folks, it just made me more energized and new. I had the devil mad. I had the devil aggravated and frustrated. And it just made me to know, Brother Smith, that I was on right track. But I can tell you, as I stated this morning, as Apostle Paul said, at least while I preach to others, I myself become a castaway from time to time. We're apt to get to a place we have spoiled the enemy many times. But if we're not careful, instead of us spoiling, having victory over the spoiler, we'll know that spoiler has the victory over us. We begin to lose ground, and we begin to target folks, and we begin to say, well, bless God, they're sitting on me, and I can't take that. Brother Fred, I'm guilty. If I'd have continued as I was last week, I don't know if I could have lived another week. But thank God, I got the victory. Woo! You can't preach over having the victory without getting the victory. I'm telling you, the spring of my heel's getting a little lower. The excitement's leaking out. The joy's leaking out. But thanks be unto God. Listen, folks, it ain't man that gives us anointing. It ain't a preacher that called me. It ain't a preacher that ordained me in the ministry. It's God Almighty that called. And he said, if I called, I will qualify. If you'll listen here in chapter 4 of the book of Jeremiah, you'll see that Jeremiah, as God begins to compassionately plead with the children of Israel. Do you know that God always sends mercy before judgment every time? That's just God for you. The devil's not that way at all. He has no mercy. He has no mercy. But I can tell you, God will always bring mercy in. He'll give you a chance to get out of the predicament that the enemy has got you in. And listen to this. When the world says, I'm through, the devil will take you to a place. When he's done with you, he'll kill you if he can. But the Lord says, when you went and played the harlot with the world, when you've two-timed on me, I'm ready to take you back. If you'll just return, I'll forget every bit of that life that you lived. I'll forget all of that sin and that abomination that you've done. I'll cast it in the depth of the sea, never to be remembered again. And I'll take you back if you'll return. If you'll return. He pleaded with them. He pleaded with them. He said, I can tell you, the enemy's coming. He's coming fast. He's coming, and his horses are swifter than eagles. And it's going to bring destruction. They wouldn't hearken unto that. So here's what happens. Listen, folks, many times When people fall out of the right relationship, and I've been there, right here since I've been at White Oak, there's been probably at least a couple of different times I almost got to a place I was ready to stop the fight and just go on and preach like all the other deadhead preachers. Easier. It's easier. Get up there and give you a 10-minute sermonette to 10-minute Christianettes and not ever hear from God. And preachers will pat, people will pat the preachers on the back and say, "My, what a wonderful message. I was doing all kinds of things wrong, and God must not know about it because he didn't tell the preacher. Glory be to his name." Oh, it makes them feel good. It makes them feel good. Listen, let me read to you again in verse number 30. Here's what they're doing. They're putting a covering in the place of reality. And Jeremiah had stated to them, when he said in verse 14, "If you'd wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved, how long shall thy thoughts lodge within thee?" The vain thoughts lodge within thee. You know what something is when it's lodged? It's hung there. It's stuck. You ever throw something somewhere with a rope tied on it and it gets stuck? Just about every fall when we start to deer hunt, the way we skin our deer, I'll take a rope and I'll throw it over a limb. And usually I'll tie a short stick or a lob-shaped rock, something that'll give me a little leverage to throw that rope. I've seen the kids various times take a 20-foot rope and wad it up, and they'd throw that thing a dozen times. It'd get right up there and fall back down. I say, "Tie something on that thing." Well, I threw one, and it went up, and it lodged in a fork. How long? How long will you lodge in your vain thoughts? That means the thought, it isn't the bird flying over the head. It isn't the thought that just come and gone. You can't keep that bird from flying over your head, sir, but you can sure stop it from making a nest in your hair. And that's what God's saying through Jeremiah. How long will those thoughts lodge there? They're evil, they're vain, they're abominable, and they've caused a separation between the people of God and God. He can't hear them when there's so much sin between them, other than the prayer of, "God, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me?" It's not about blessings, but it's about relationship with God. And what's so sad? What's so heartbreaking? I don't like being hard. I wish it wasn't this way. The flesh of Leo die. Brother Brad, I wish it wasn't this way, but it is, and I know it is. And I know, as Paul said, "Woe is me." Woe means grief, misery, sorrow is me if I preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not another gospel, but the gospel of Jesus Christ. What happens is when they get to a place, Jeremiah, he had pleaded as God began to beckon him to plead. And I believe that as you read through the book of Jeremiah, you'll find the people there as they're almost ready to a place to surrender. They're hearing what Jeremiah's saying. Here comes that false bunch. I can preach a few messages to somebody that's hard to get. Somebody, as Sister Joanne said, they said, "Every time I go to Wido, it just seems like that it's judgmental." I don't mean to be judgmental, but I can tell you this. The Bible plainly states, "Know ye not that my word shall judge you in the last day?" This book will have the final say in judgment in everybody's life. And he said, if you judge yourself, you have no need to be judged. So listen, folks, the reason he's doing this, he loves us so much. Brother Ron, he's sending his word to heal the vacancy in our heart, to get that lodging thought that's there out. I can't do it. You can't do it. But David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord my God and my Redeemer. And folks, when we get in that area of life, that our thoughts, it's good for there to be a lodging, but it can't be good if it's a vain thought lodge. But if it's a good and acceptable and a perfect word of God, folks, it's good, it's wonderful, and it's great that it lodges in your heart. But as they begin to hear this, almost to a place, here comes the false prophets. It ain't going to be that way. Don't you listen to him. He'll put you in bondage. Every time you go hear old Jeremiah preach, don't it make you feel guilty? Get away from that mess. Get in this bunch and be blessed. I sold a $100 seed last month. Bless God. Now I'm driving a pink Cadillac, if there is such a thing. I'm driving this and I'm driving that. I'm debt free. I got a bean seed somewhere and planted it, and it took me clear up into the heavens. And I met old whatever that guy was up there, the giant. And when I went up Jack's Beanstalk, and it's a fairy tale, folks. It's false. It's false. If you plant seed in a man's life or a man's ministry, all you're going to reap is whatever mercy that man will have. But if you plant a seed in the work of God, it doesn't have to be. I can tell you, folks, we're putting too much dependency on people rather than God. It ain't me you've got to look to, but it's God you've got to look to. Now I can tell you, folks, tonight we need to realize when Paul said, when I go to do good, evil's always present. Doesn't matter who we are. Every corner we turn, there's something there of the flesh to try to buffet and hinder us. Try to stop the work of God, if you will. But in Jeremiah's time, here come those false priests, those false prophets. They tear down everything Jeremiah stated. Why is it that folks, and here's what they said, we have made falsehood our refuge. We have made lies and deceit a covenant of death to us. That's what they said in the book of Jeremiah. They're saying, we don't want to hear. When we hear you preach, we leave and we feel bad. You know why they do? They don't want to do anything about what's making them feel bad. Folks, if we're not willing to change, there must be a change, Brother Ron. If we're not willing to change, don't you think for a moment you're going to change God and bring him to your level. It won't happen. He's a holy God, and he'll not be corrupted by abominable things. He's not coming on the level of man, of humanity. He did that once, but when he come down in the form of flesh, he didn't come in the way that man did. He come in the will of the Father, even as from a child, and he said, not as I will, but thy will be done. And listen, folks, he's not coming tonight. On the level we are, we got to go to where he is. He'll reach down and get us when we can't and bring us in that relationship, but we've got to want it. We've got to want it. The problem is, I stated the other night, we prayed right here one time for a man. He come up and said he wanted prayer for deliverance from cigarettes. God said, ask him if he really wants to be delivered. I whispered in his ear. I said, the Lord asked me to ask you, do you really want deliverance? And he stood there for about 30 seconds, looked right at me and said, no, I really don't. I enjoy them too well. I said, no need in praying. That's what God said. If you don't want deliverance, you ain't going to get it. God's not going to intrude against your will. But I thought in this message, God began to prick my heart in this. The problem we're having today, there's a few that still want to hear, very few that want to hear the true, uncompromised word of God. Sure, it's hard. It's hard. This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? I told you, I'm going to preach under that title before long. I don't know when, but who can hear it? I know who can. I believe you got an idea who can. Those that are willing to pray and repent daily, not occasionally, but daily, they're the ones that can hear it. There's been times I prayed through to victory in areas of my life and lose it before I got home because I listened to the wrong voice. I listened to, and the devil began to say, you didn't have to do or say that at all. And here's what we do. Do you think most folks stop going to church just because they quit living a holy life? No. It'd be better for them if they did. Jesus said, I'd rather you be cold or hot. Or if you're lukewarm, you know what that lukewarm condition is? It's a religious spirit. It's self-satisfied. It's controlled by man. It's controlled by emotions. It's controlled by somebody manipulating and somebody through falsehood saying, you give me this and God. God didn't say that at all. God didn't say that at all. One thing you've never heard Leo Dye say, I believe in sowing seeds. You don't never hear me talk about the offerings, if it's $300 and something dollars or if it's $1,500. I could care less. That's the least thought in my mind. If you don't, and I believe most of you think and believe that. I hope you do. That's the least thought in my mind. I could care less. God spoke to David. I believe he spoke to me. I was young. Now I'm old. I've never saw the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. You'll never hear me beg for money. You'll never hear me say that you've got to give me so much for God to do this. Brother Scott talked about the preacher that said God's got 1,140 blessings to give out or whatever it was. Well, if that's all he's got, he ain't a very big of God. How many knows there's more than 1,100 people in this world? That don't sound like God at all, does it? If he's only got 1,100 blessings to give out, ain't going to be trillions of people left out somewhere. That, and I can say, the word says he's a no respecter person. He's not going to bless you, Brother Smith, and leave me out. He might bless you in a different area, but I can tell you he's got way more than any 1,100 blessings. In fact, he blessed me with that many since the first of the week. Every time we turn around, I know there's bad happening. I got one van, the transmission, just for no reason laid down. Newest van we ever had, 71,000 miles, I believe, it just quit. Got another van, we got a backup. Always try to keep a backup. Thank God we got a backup. And I think it's trying to lay down. But I, even though, and if I wanted to, I could sit down, whine a little bit about that. But that, there's no need me whining about something like that. If I've got money, I went to an auction yesterday to sell a tractor and come back home, and I ain't even going to tell you how much money I spent. Diane wasn't pleased at all. And I went to an auction to sell and come back with all kinds of goodies, all kinds of things. So if I ain't no need me a fretting, ain't no need me a whining and a blaming God if something goes wrong. I got an old Chevrolet truck. It may be a gas hog, but I believe he can furnish the gas. He's got an oil well somewhere, and if I have to drive it, I will. I will. Let me hurry and get to this point in this message. Jeremiah said to him, now here's after the word's been spoken. I give you the remedy. I told you what it'll take. If you don't do it, the spoiler's coming. He's coming swift. He's coming swifter than the, his horses are swifter than eagles. He's already at, I mean, he's right at the edge. He's almost here. You better get ready for this. But if you'll turn from the abominable things and get those thoughts that's lodged in your heart, it's not just the mind thoughts. It's entered in deeper than that. It's got into the heart and it's took root. And it's corrupted man. You got to get that lodged thing out of there. I can tell you, when something gets lodged in a pipe, what do? You get the plunger hold of it. You get some water in there, and you plunge, and you get it out. I think we ought to pray God to purge me. That's what David said. Wash me thoroughly. Whatever it takes, get this out of me. It's lodged inside. It's brought death into my family. you. And I can tell you, when sin is finished, it brings death every time. It's brought death, what David said, into my family. I got to have you, Lord, to wash it out. It's abominable, wicked things. It's lodged in my heart. I've got to have help, oh God. We listen too much to things we hadn't ought to be listening to. There was a young preacher, I'll not call no names. He went to this school that I didn't have a clue, but he told me, he's come to me and he said, "Boy, the first 2 or 3 months I was there," said, "I don't know, I thought the Lord was checking my spirit and saying, this ain't right. This just ain't right." But he said, after about the third month, he said, I got into it, and he said, "Man, I like it. Believe it's all right." And I said to him, I said, "No. If the Lord checked your spirit and said, get out of it, it ain't right, you should have left. You should have got out of it." What happens, folks, we want to appeal and we want to appease our friend, our whoever, companion. And we, a lot of times, jeopardize what we know to be right. If it works, I believe we better stay with it. If it works, we better stay with it. That's why I am so terrified of change. There's some things that I know I probably go a little bit overboard, but I can guarantee you, if I know anything about heaven and I know anything about God, when I stand before God, Brother Smith, he'll not look Leo down in the face and say, "Now Leo, you just went a little overboard. You didn't have to go that hard and things. You could have been a little more lenient." No, ma'am. No, sir. I know God's ways enough. Brother Gary, he'll never say that. He'll say, "If you're faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many." He'll say, "I'm proud of you, son. If you was harsh in areas, maybe you didn't have to be." He said, "For no man has forsaken homes, lands, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, and his own life. But what it'll not be rewarded unto him in this life, if he bold, and in the life to come, eternal life." Brother Smith, that's what we're looking for. But I can tell you, there'll be a lot of folks that just leaned up a little bit and said, "Well, I just don't believe that eloquent preacher. He's educated. He went to school and he knows a little bit about this. He's explained it all right. There's some slick willies that'll explain you right in the pit of hell if you listen to them, and it'll all sound good, but they take away the glory of God and they put on a false face of covering." Did you understand what I read to you a little earlier in verse number 30? Let me give it to you again. "And when thou art spoiled," he said, it's going to come, not if thou art. "And when thou art spoiled, what will you do? What will thou do? Though thou clothest thyself with crimson, though thou deckest thee with ornaments of gold, though thou rendest thy face with paintings, in vain shalt thou make thyself fair." Let me stop right there. What Jeremiah is stating in this, they're not turning from religion. They're just turning from the pure. They've not stopped following a God. They just stopped following the God. The God of heaven and earth. The one that Rahab the harlot said there's not another God like. And now, he said, since, let me turn back with me to the book of Jeremiah chapter 4, verse number 1. Listen what he said. "If thou will return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou will put away thy abominations out of my sight," this is God speaking, "then shalt thou not remove." The only way we'll ever get to a place we can't be removed is get away from the abomination things. Get away from things that is displeasing to God. God's saying, "I want it put out of my sight." Yeah. How are you going to do that? Hide it? You better believe it's going to be hid under the blood. Nowhere else will it be hid from the eyes of God. When it's hid under the blood, God cannot see your sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. But if you don't put that abominable thing under the blood of Jesus Christ, you will be removed. You'll have victory today, and you won't tomorrow. You'll have it today and won't tomorrow. Listen what he said. He's ready to take them back. Here's what you'll say when you put this under the blood and you really mean it. Here's how you know. I want you to get this. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth. Other words, thou shalt take an oath, and everybody's going to know it. There ain't nobody going to look at you that don't say, man, that person, that man, that woman's got a hold of something. There's a difference in her life. The Lord liveth in truth, in judgment. Sister Joanne, that's why those that aren't willing to put the abominations under the blood, that the false church is saying it's all right to go along with the booze drinkers. It's all right to watch R-rated movies. It's all right to be a homosexual or a lesbian and this and that. We won't preach against sin. It makes folks uncomfortable. I'm here to tell you, if the book said it, it's still sin today. There'll be no flesh glory in the presence of God. But here's what he said. If you're willing to put it under the blood, everywhere you go, you're going to have that oath. You're going to swear the Lord liveth. There's going to be a covenant there. And he lives in truth. He doesn't just live on Sunday morning. He lives on the Blue Monday. He lives in truth. And in judgments. Listen to what he said. In judgments, oh, I like this. This is out of most folks' vocabulary. And in righteousness, and the nations shall be blessed, shall bless themselves in who? In him. Amen. And in him shall they glory. With that in mind, listen to what chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 says. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine spouse, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Verse number 3 says, Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. Meaning that everything was put first of the Lord, and then everything we want come after that. We were holiness. Israel was holiness unto the Lord. Listen, folks, I'm here to tell somebody tonight, we've got a lot of opposition. For everyone that'll preach this old book, Holiness, for everyone that'll preach the standard of living, if it was ever wrong, I have never told a lady she'd go to hell for putting on a pair of pants. That's between that individual and God. But I can tell you this, if we don't have any more reverence and respect than to reverence the house of God when we come, we don't have the right relationship. And when we put folks up behind this sacred desk that's living just like the world lives, how in the world? The glory's not there, Brother Ron. I can see why. Listen, why do you think that Jeremiah's saying here, and by the way, there was makeup in Jeremiah's day. I don't believe Jeremiah wore it. But I know Jezebel did. Now, I'm not preaching against makeup. I've seen a few folks I'd like to put some on. Diane, don't think I ought to say this. But I'm preaching this, okay? Now, that's just the flesh part of me. I didn't. But let me get to the point, what I wanted to get to. What's makeup for? Covers, doesn't it? It covers the spots that's undesirable. Is that not right? Hello? When you paint your face, oh, there's a pimple here. My eyes are red. And what did Jeremiah say? Now, I'm saying that for this reason. I'm saying that, as Jeremiah's saying, you've been spoiled. What are you going to do? Well, here's what we're going to do is what they're saying. Jeremiah knew what their plan was. We'll go right on doing what we've always done, but we'll do it ourselves. We've been tore. Rent. We've been rent when something's tore. Now, ladies are worse than men, I guess. I hope so. Surely most men ain't vain enough. They had a blemish. You can deck anything up and make it look good. Wash their face and see what they look like. I'd always want to wash anybody's face before I made a vow to them, wouldn't you? I'd want them to be pure. I'd want to know what I was getting into. Come on. I'm preaching you the truth tonight. Amen. Jeremiah said, you're fixing to get spoiled. And when thou art, not if, when thou art spoiled. Meaning, the enemy's come. He's taken in warfare. Going back to Matthew again, Jesus said that a man, how can he enter into a strong man's house, spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man and then spoil his house? Meaning, he robs him of the things that are precious. I can tell you what the enemy's after here. He's after the glory of the church. He's after the righteousness of the church. He's after the holiness. Israel was holy unto the Lord, and the first fruits belong to God. And the devil said, that's what I'm after. Now he spoiled them. He's got their goods. So they're going to put on the false face. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 1, says, woe unto a rebellious house. They take counsel, but none of me. They cover with the covered, but not of my spirit. What are you saying, preacher? They kept right on having church, Brother Scott. They kept right on hollering, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, glory to God. Wearing those clothes that are abominable. They've been rent. Folks, we've never been tore until the Lord gets a hold of us. It doesn't make any difference what we try to cover with. He said, your lovers are going to hate you. You know what he's meaning there? Your allies. I want to tell you something, folks. I'd hate to go to war. I don't care what kind of artillery America has. If it ain't in God we trust anymore, if we're trusting in the artillery, we're going to fall. You hear this, old preacher? There's never been a weapon that's as powerful as prayer. An interceder that'll stand before God with a pure heart and clean hands. There's never been nothing, Brother Gary, that's any more powerful than that. I'd want allies. And here's what God's speaking through Jeremiah. They're going to hate you that see, one time you had the goods. You were holy. In your youth, you were kind and beautiful and pure. But now you've been rent because the abominable things lodged, come in your mind, entered into your heart, and it defiled that individual. It defiled that nation. It defiled the church, if you will. And now, God says, when the spoiler comes and spoils you, what will you do? Here's what we'll do. Jeremiah said, I know you're going to deck yourself with garments. You're going to look like you've always looked. Listen, folks, it doesn't make any difference if the church says holiness. If they're not living it, Don't try preaching it. Don't preach something you're not living. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I've been a few times, Brother Smith, that I've had to back out on what I was going to preach. God give me a message. And it might have been, let me just give you what it might have been. It might have been, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And before I got to church, I got so carnal, I got in one of them spitting mad fights to where I was ready to throw my wife out the door. It might have been, I said. And when I got to church, I couldn't preach on that. I couldn't preach, husbands, love your wife. Right now, I was wanting to wring her neck. I'm making a point. What are you getting at, preacher? I'm telling you, those folks could not preach the holiness that he said, Jeremiah chapter 2. It was when you was in your youth, we was a spouse, when we were first lovers, when we were first come together, when you relied on men. Here's the reason. Listen, folks, he said, because I took you through a land, a wilderness, it was not sown. They had to depend on God. And now we've got to a place, seemingly we can depend on everything else. God's last on the list. If we get sick, call every doctor in the county. If they say we can't, you ought to get them to church as quick as you can. Get them to church. That's the only hope you have. That's where we ought to tuck them to start with. I can tell you this. I'll go to God long before I go to a doctor. Amen. I'm not telling you I won't go to a doctor, but I can tell you this, when I do, I'll have spent some time before God before I do, because I know he don't ever go wrong in it. And I've known so many times that doctors, they're just flesh, they're just human, and they go wrong. Sometimes they bury their mistakes. That don't sound good to me. So I'd rather put my trust in God. He's never made a mistake, so he don't bury any. Jeremiah said, they're going to deck themselves out. They're going to put on their beautiful ornaments. It doesn't make no difference what we hang on us. I want to tell you something. I hope nobody gets aggravated at me. I'm not preaching against jewelry. But I can tell you this. When holiness people start wearing so much jewelry, I can see why they're trying to cover up what they really are. Like it or don't like it, it's truth. We're covering up what we really are. That makeup's to cover up the reflection of what we are. If there's a spot there, a flaw you don't like, cover it up. Cover it up. We hang things on us to deck ourselves out and make us look better, we think. I can tell you this. It may look better in the eyes of some people, but it don't look better in the eyes of God. You know what he wants us to cover up with? His glory. If we'll deck ourselves with his glory, it doesn't matter how much sin may have torn our lives. In this predicament here, it wasn't sin altogether that tore them. It was the hand of God. The glory departed. Ichabod's now written upon the door. The glory of God's departed from them. And now the judgments is to come. Listen, folks, as Jeremiah said in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, he said that when they get this thing right, it gets under the blood. They'll swear everywhere they go, the oath will be there. Everybody will know that the Lord lives. It'll not be hid. The Lord lives. He lives in truth. He lives in judgment. And he lives in righteousness. And then he said, you and I, he said, the people of Israel, they will glory in themselves of being in the Lord. The glory of the Lord will be in their lives in such a way when folks sees them, it doesn't matter what we profess if we don't possess. Profession is good, but profession is much gooder, if I could say that. Profession is much greater than just possession is much greater than just professing it. Listen what he said, the latter part. And the nations shall be blessed in themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. Did you ever just bless yourself? Well, sure you have. Have you ever bought your own Christmas present? You can't gripe about it then. Well, I just blessed myself to a Happy Meal. Hello? Yeah, you've blessed yourself. Don't look at me holy. And some of you thought this wasn't in the book. That all nations, this nation's blessed themselves. You know why? You don't stop there in him. They wasn't blessed at all until they got in him. But when we get blessed in him, bless themselves in him, then, folks, the glory is going to appear. And in this, listen, it doesn't make any difference who we are, how old or how young. We've all got different areas, things that are battles to us. Some conflicts might be great for you that I think, man, I just can't see the point. I mean, I've had folks that's called me up. And they tell, oh, we got a big one this time. All right. They start telling me. I think, man, I have bigger problems than that about 4 or 5 times a day. And you think the world's about to come to an end. Brother Gary got tickled. He said, Sister Looney called him the other day. She said, oh, we got big problems. He says, well, what is it? What's going on? Rabbits is eating Brother Earl's beans. That's real problems, too, I guarantee you. They want a lot of work. And I guarantee you, they ain't no Philistine going to get in my pea patch. There ain't no rabbit going to get in my bean patch. That's what Earl said. But we got big problems. Now, some of you wouldn't have thought that was a problem at all. You didn't plant them beans. You didn't hold them beans. You didn't weed them beans. And you didn't put water to them beans. I can tell you, that's a problem. I said that for this reason. Somebody tell me, well, I got big problems. I think, boy, it don't seem that big. But to them, it's a great mountain. It's a great mountain. Folks, we don't ever know what somebody else is going through, Brother Ron, the battles that they're facing. But I can tell you this. If we don't have victory over the spoiler, that spoiler will have victory over us. Every time. Every time. I'm going to try to come to a close tonight. Sister Pam, would you sing that song from Heaven's Point of View? I love that because when we're soaring higher, Heaven's Point of View, things never look as bad, do they? Never look as bad. Things looked pretty bleak to me a few days ago. Here I am preaching on victory, and I've let the devil wool me around. And before, I'd done made confession over at White River that I had got down on preachers. Now, I'm one of them. I was kind of down on myself, too, I guess. But when y'all prayed for me this morning, God chastened me the other day, and I repented of acting the way I acted just because folks don't preach with me like I feel they ought to. Sometimes I believe God takes us to these places, Brother Fred, so we can better help others. That we've been there. We've been there. I can tell every one of you tonight, there's no place to quit.